If you have your Bibles, open to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let me mention a couple things before I get into this, start with the scripture here. We started a new session of School for Life this morning, and I was able to be able to go to the class on the next level, and Susie ministered there, and it was outstanding. It was really, really strong. And what we're talking about in that class is helping, you know, our mission here is empowering people to give life, and we want to help you give life in a greater way. And I've been ministering to people for 30 years, over 30 years. I mean, I've always had this believer's ministry, I've always walked in that and ministered to people when I was in St. Cloud or ORU or here in Augusta or Minnesota, wherever I've been, to minister to people. But there was just some things that I hadn't saw, you know, that she was sharing this morning. And so I just really want to encourage you, if you have a desire to give life in a greater way, if you have a desire to see the power of God work through you, I really encourage you to come out for that class next week. It'll be at 9:30, and I don't care where you're. I mean, I don't care if you're full-time ministry or ministry of believer or whatever it is. We're all in the ministry of the believer, but you need to come to that class. So I want to encourage you to come out for that at 9:30. And then the second thing is we're receiving a second offering at the end of the service, and we're going to receive an offering to stamp concrete in our courtyard. And if you can see that today, you can see the demolition work, the amazing job that they did back there to prepare it for that. And so we're going to be receiving an offering for that. We're expecting over $5,000 to come in for that. And once we have that money in hand, we can go ahead and get that order in to do that. And it can just take a couple days to do it. But one of the main purposes for that space, and Nate mentioned it, that part of our vision is being strongly connected to God and to each other. I see that as a real connecting space. I mean, that'll give us over another 1,000 square feet where it can have fellowship kind of in a really neat area. We've done that with the atrium. We have the commons. We want to basically connect all three of those together in the future. But this will be a really great space for us to do more connecting. And so that's what we're giving towards. It's not just so we have a nice little courtyard. No, there's a purpose behind it. And so you'll be hearing more about that at the end of the service. Have you found Romans 1 yet? Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. It says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." That's really good news there. Covers everybody. "For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, what is the gospel? The gospel, in its purest definition, means good news. Everybody say good news. Good news. And when good news is preached, it produces things. It produces salvation. You know, and in that word salvation, from Romans 10 and from here in Romans 1, is the Greek word sozo, and it does mean when you die, you get to go to heaven. You know, that's part of salvation, but it's so much more to it. It means deliverance, it means provision, it means healing. It's a whole inheritance package that he has for us. You know, this good news is forgiveness. You know, it's freedom. He wants us to walk in freedom. So the gospel is where the power of God is in manifestation. The gospel brings the power of God onto the scene. Now, the religious leaders of the day that Jesus walked, and also for the Apostle Paul, they didn't have good news. You could say that the message they preached was bad news. And then the message that they preached loaded people down with more rules and more regulations. How many here want more rules and regulations? More hoops to jump through. And this, I don't know what the opposite of gospel, what that word would be, but the bad news that they preached didn't produce faith, it produced fear. And fear of a God who is mean, hard, judgmental, temperamental. You never know what God's going to do. How's he feeling today? You know, we got to appease the gods and, you know, hope he's in a good mood today. And so when we're afraid of God, and so bad news produces fear of God. Now we'll say, you know, the fear of the Lord. What about the fear of the Lord? No, when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about a reverence for him. We're not talking about that we need to be cowering in fear. I mean, we love him. He's our Father. We want to be intimate with him. Are you going to be intimate with someone that is hard and judgmental and you're just in fear of punishment? How are you going to be intimate with that person? And so when we're afraid of God and we don't have that intimate relationship, we're not producing positive things in our lives. You remember the story of the parable of the talents? Remember that story about the five talents and two talents and the one talent? And the one that had five doubled his, and master said, enter into the joy of the Lord. Same thing with the second one, and he doubled his. You remember the person that had the one talent? Do you remember what they said? This is the words that came out of his mouth. I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were a hard man. And so I was afraid and hid the talent. That's what fear causes you to do. It doesn't produce fruit. It paralyzes you. It causes you to draw back and to hide what you should be multiplying. So a good question to ask, and it's so interesting today in the class, Susie was talking, she started off with that same scripture from Romans 1 and started talking about the gospel, and we had no idea what each other was going to talk about. It's amazing how God works here. But what is the gospel message? And Susie asked you, Ben, and you gave the right answer. Don't add anything else to it, but what is the gospel, Ben? Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection. Gold stars going in your file there, Ben. And I'll just confirm that. Let me read this in 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to read this in verse 1. I'm going to read it out of the Message translation. So you may want to just follow along on the screen. If we can put that up there. There we go. Friends, let me go over the message. In the Message translation, they use the word message instead of the gospel. Let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you made your own, this message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. I'm assuming now that your belief was the real thing and not a passing fancy, and that you're in this for the good, and holding fast. The first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as the Scripture tells it, that he was buried and that he was raised from the death on the third day, again, exactly as the Scripture says. So the gospel, which produces the power of God, is the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. Now, the sad thing, and Ben knew that, and Ben is a believer, but you know there's many ministers, many pastors could be asked that question, what the gospel is, and they're going to fumble, and they're going to stumble around, and can't really tell you what it is, and I hope that's not, you know, your story. I want you to know, in the simplest form, I want you to know, if you're asked what the gospel is, you can't go wrong by saying death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen? That's the essence of the gospel. And we need to keep this before us. And by believing this, I mean, even in Romans chapter 10, what does it say? That we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead? And confess him as Lord? Then you'll be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By believing the gospel, the good news, we're saved. Saved by grace, it's by through God's grace. Saved by grace through faith. What is faith? Believing. And in Romans 10, it says it's believing and confessing. Believing and confessing. So when we accept the gospel, we believe the gospel, we enter into God's family as a son and a daughter. And I have good news for you today. It's not a fragile salvation. Because some preachers will tell you that you do this, you'll lose it. You'll do that, you'll lose it. We don't have a fragile salvation. And this is another message here. But if we miss it, we make mistakes. I mean, we don't have levels of sin. Whatever it is, we confess it, we give it to God. He's forgiven us. It's under the blood. I mean, he took care of it 2,000 years ago. But what happened is when we were saved, we now enter into a position that we call here at Good News Church, in Christ. That's what Paul called it. We're now in Christ. And we can spend the remainder of our lives as a believer trying to understand this revelation. Paul got it by revelation by the Holy Spirit. But basically what that means to be in Christ is we are now in him. That's our position. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, meaning we have a right standing with God. We have the same position as a son or daughter that Jesus has with the Father. And that's just going to take some revelation there. But then with that right standing comes an inheritance. Not just when you die and go to heaven, but here on the earth, an inheritance. And then part of that inheritance is we can do things. We have authority. So who am I? What do I have? What can I do? That's the, you know, those are the three basic points of what a believer is. And these are things that we want you to know. We want you to be skilled in all three of these. Because in order to give life, you have to have life. But we want you to know how to operate in your authority. That's why we talk about that so much. Okay. Now, part of what we have in Christ is peace. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you have peace. Some of you didn't say that too confidently. What we have with Jesus, because of what Jesus has done, has given us peace. And peace is pretty important to God. It's pretty important. It is so important that at the announcement of the birth of Jesus, remember how historic and how amazing the birth of Jesus and all that went into this and Mary being, you know, the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary and all the different things. It took thousands of years to get everything lined up for Jesus to come to the earth. Now here's the announcement. Look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 verse 10. It says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. That's good. See, that's already getting away from what they had under the law. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings. He's bringing good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jump down to verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill towards men. It's not just peace among men, and now we have peace with people, you know. He's talking about peace with God. And if you have peace with God, it's going to produce peace in your life. So this peace is pretty important to God. John 14, verse 27, amplified. I mean, this is awesome. It says this, "Peace I leave with you." Jesus is leaving, and he's leaving us peace. "My own peace." Jesus' very own peace, that same peace that was asleep in the boat when the storms were raging. His very own peace I now give you and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives. I mean, the world doesn't, I mean, they have all these things trying to, you know, acupuncture and spas and drugs and all these other things. I mean, have you seen the documentary of Joan Rivers? I mean, this lady, 80-something years old, and she is just driven to make money, to be famous, never able to really enjoy peace. Is this up 80 years, and you're still just striving and striving. And that's what the enemy does, striving and striving, and you never get there. And you almost think you have it, but you never get it. And then you may have little glimpses of it. "Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Again, the fear is gone. "Stop allowing yourselves," this is for somebody here, "stop allowing yourselves to be agitated." Don't make I look around, but is there anybody agitated today? "Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed." Don't look around. No eye contact. Is anybody here disturbed? We all know that you're disturbed. "And do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." I could just stop right there and call it a day. That's a good scripture. That is a really good scripture. But what's he talking about when he's talking about peace? Now, you may know the peace from the Old Testament more than New Testament. I'm not going to give you the New Testament word, but shalom. You ever heard of shalom? Jewish folks still say shalom. Shalom means peace. But this word peace here in the New Testament, it means wholeness, completeness, or tranquility in your soul, not just in your spirit, in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, that's unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. It's a peace in the midst of the storm. It's a peace when you're under pressure, when you're in a trial. We talked about that last week. Order in the midst of chaos. Don't raise your hand, but who's dealing with a lot of chaos today? Chaos. That's that, you know, in all these TV programs, I mean, I don't know if it was Get Smart or whatever it was. Wasn't it chaos? That's always the enemy. Out to get you. Subvert you. Chaos. Order in the midst of chaos. I love this. Calm, I'll just even say it calmly. Calm, inner stability. Everybody say that with me. Calm, inner stability. That results in the ability to conduct oneself peacefully. I love this. It is a dominating peace. I like that, dominating peace. It's, you know, it's like you have this, you know, abundance in your bank account, but it's abundance in your soul. It's a prosperity of your soul. Just an abundance of peace. Whole, complete, orderly, stable. I like that. Stable. God wants you to be stable, to have stability, not living your life up and down, moving here, moving there, taking this job, doing that job, going to this church, going to that church, marrying this person, getting rid of that wife, getting another one. It's just the roller coaster. That's the world's way. It's the roller coaster. And we know these people, and hopefully nobody here, but just when you're around them, it's just a bunch of drama. And we say that, you know, remember Pigpen and Snoopy, how all that big cloud, it's just like they just come with a cloud of drama. Well, I want you to have a cloud, but to have a cloud of peace, and then your cloud of peace will overtake their cloud of drama. No, you're in my territory now. You're not bringing that in here. See, in this little circle here, we're having peace. You're not bringing your chaos into my world of stability. You can live that way. I'm not living that way. Whole, complete, orderly, stable, poised for the manifestation of God's blessings. That's how we should live. Poised. We may not see it today, but that miracle, that thing you're believing for, and this is good news for you today, it's on the way. Despite what the devil tells you, it is on the way, and you need to be poised, ready for the manifestation. You can conduct yourself peacefully when you should be freaking out. Freaking out. Freaking out. You know, and I've been in these situations where the peace of God, and you have too. You know, I remember, you know, Susie calls her tall granny. Tall granny has a name. Her name is Molly. But you know her as tall granny. Well, one time tall granny was in a car accident, and she hit her head in the dashboard, or maybe the windshield, maybe. The mirror? Oh, yeah. And so, you know, as a pastor, you get called in these kind of situations. And so I'm called to the emergency room to see Molly, see tall granny. And I'm in there, and she's laying out on the bed, and there's blood everywhere. And I just walk up to her, and I just grabbed her hand, and I said, "Hey, Granny," you know, just started ministering to her, and loving on her, and praying for her, and, you know, God's peace and healing and all these different things. And, like, right in the middle, this is really gross, right in the middle of all of that, I finally notice the top of her head is peeled back. I didn't even notice it. I just had a peace. God's presence was on me, and it was a peace. I remember when we got, I think it was our new riding mower. This is years ago. And I'm really handy with a knife. And, you know, you had to cut open the box, and in this particular thing was kind of challenging. And I don't know what, I was just excited about getting this riding mower, I guess, and, you know. And so I'm slicing it, and I got a really good knife. I'm slicing it, and somehow in the midst of it, whew, big gash, just missed my wrist. And I mean, it's one of those gash. I mean, I hate to talk about it again. You have peace. There's just blood just shooting everywhere. And, you know, and I'm telling you what, I mean, I don't know if I was so joyful about the riding mower. I was just like, well, okay. Just had this peace. I walk in, and Grayson, his eyes are like, "Dad's about to die." I mean, there is this blood gushing everywhere, and just a piece. I mean, you can have peace. That's how the Lord wants you to operate and live your life. And there's going to be trials, and there's going to be tests. So I just want to let you know, good news today, God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He is for you. He's got an amazing purpose and a plan for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you. Now really point at your other neighbor. Say, you. You. He's got a purpose and a plan even for you. I mean, I know he's got one for me, but you? And not only does he have a purpose and a plan, but all the resources necessary to fulfill the plan was laid out in heaven before you were born. Woo! With the provision, with the vision comes the provision. So that's all good. Good news. But you got to watch out for the oldest trick in the book. You know what the oldest trick in the book is? Let's go to Genesis. It is the oldest trick in the book. I got that from, did you say that, Susie? I got it from you, okay. There is no really revelation, is there, a new revelation? You got to watch out for the oldest trick in the book. Genesis 3, verse 1. Got to hurry here. Genesis 3, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, she didn't know the word, right? That's not what God said. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and then they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. See this? Fear. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You see, Adam was created in the likeness and the image of God, right? Y'all looking too comfortable down here, so I'll come down here. Adam was created in the likeness and the image of God. Is that right? That's from the scriptures. Satan said to them, if you will do this, you will be like God. And that tempted them. It was a temptation. If you do this, you will be like God. But the deal is, and here's the oldest trick, he already was like God. In his current state and position, he may not have known that, or he knew it and forgot, or whatever. The temptation was stronger than his belief. But he was already like God. And so whatever, I mean, it comes down to he didn't believe it. And so we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We've already been, when we were born again, we are this new creation. We're already born again and made like Jesus, right? We have the same right standing that Jesus has with God the Father. But yet we fall again for the oldest trick in the book. If you do this, you'll be like Jesus. If you do this thing, if you, whatever it may be, if you do this, you know, fill in the blank, you'll be like Jesus. And so we begin to think that we have to do something to cause us to be acceptable to God. And we'll call that the law on the Old Testament, the curse of the law. But once you start getting in that trap where I've got to do things to earn this salvation, I've got to do things to earn God's favor, to earn God's acceptance, you're in a dangerous place. You weakened your position. You're now going to start being afraid of God, afraid of judgment. Well, what if I don't do it all right? You're not going to do it all right. You're never going to do it perfectly. But see how he wants to tempt you and make you think that your salvation wasn't good enough. It wasn't enough. And already then you start weakening yourself. Then the power level begins to decrease. The fruit in your life begins to decrease, and you get on that treadmill. The works treadmill. I mean, whatever it may be, it can be going to church. Church going, that's a good thing. Prayer, evangelism, tithing. Fasting, communion. You know, whatever it is that I've got to do these things in order to make me acceptable to God. And it takes away your power. And what we have to do on a daily basis is believe what we already have. That's why we're called believers. Yeah. They called the early church. Only one time it says Christians. And we've latched onto that, but I really like believers better. Our job on a daily basis is to believe the gospel. To believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection, what that means for me, then who am I, what do I have, and what can I do? And all of that's based on Jesus. None of it's based on me, or my flesh, or my giftings, or anything, my good looks, or anything else, my money. It had nothing to do with any of that. It's all based on the finished work of Jesus. And this is the deal. This is the gospel. And I was just thinking about it today. You know, we're called Good News Church. And, you know, years ago, I mean, some of the things I'm sharing today, I mean, I think I heard these things, but I may not have the revelation. I really see why we're called Good News Church. Mm-hmm. We preach good news here. And this good news, hopefully, I mean, I don't know if I'll give us 100% rating, but maybe 99.9. I don't know where our percentage is, but hopefully it's up there. And the good news that we're producing, or that we're preaching, is producing faith. You should, when you're coming, if you're really listening, and I know we all go through phases, you know, dryness, staleness, getting comfortable, familiarity, easy to do. I mean, you know, some of you have been here a long time. You've heard all my stories, all my illustrations. You know what I'm saying? You can get familiar. But if you'll keep on coming and listening and opening your heart to God, the Word, who's ever preaching, I have confidence in what we do here, whether it's School for Life or Wednesday night or Sunday or the youth or the kids or whatever it is, I believe that the gospel's being preached, the word is being preached, and it's producing the faith that you need to fulfill God's plan for your life. And I want you to believe in that gospel. See, they believe out there. They're getting excited about it. What are you doing? And when you get wrapped up in one more thing I've got to do to earn God's acceptance. It leads to low self-worth. When you have low self-worth, you accept things in your life that you shouldn't. I mean, say if some young couple, they're dating, whatever, and a lot of times it's the girl, but it's not always that way, but the girl gives in to the guy sexually. You know, that's just a low self-worth. You don't think much of yourself. And see, that's where the enemy wants you, just to accept, below standards. Accept mediocrity. That's what the enemy wants you to accept, less than what God has. It produces low self-worth. It produces rejection and fear. And fear, again, is paralyzing. Fear will stop you from fulfilling God's plan. You know, He's not given us the spirit of timidity. That's not who we are. And so these things can work in your heart instead of peace. And then when that's happening, you'll find yourself striving. You know, I'm talking about striving. Every day, I'm striving. And I don't know about you, but that just wears you out. When you're striving, it shouldn't be striving. If we're at peace with God, and then His peace comes upon us, which we have in Christ, it should be a rest. It shouldn't be striving. Earning God's approval, earning the blessings that we already have. So I'll just tell you this today. I hope when you came in, you left religion at the door. And now I'll tell you this. When you leave, don't pick it back up. Fear and doubt and unbelief and this striving, just leave it at the door. And walk out of here today with peace with God. And here's how it can operate. Let's look over in Colossians chapter 3. I love this. Who loves the Word today? Amen. Woo! Love it, love it, love it, love it. Can't get enough of it. After all these years, I think I'd be bored with it by now. Read through the Bible, some scriptures thousands of times. Still not bored with it. Still good. Colossians 3. I want to read it in two different translations, but let's read it in the New King James first. And let the peace of God rule. Who's going to rule? The peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called. You're called to this in one body, and be thankful. Now let's read it in the Amplified. And let the peace, soul harmony. Woo, I like that. That's kind of a... Now I am white, but I have a little bit of soul. I was walking with Grayson. My son, both my sons are ridiculous, but Grayson is totally ridiculous. We were at the mall, and we're just walking around, and Grayson just likes to do things. And so we're walking through the mall. It's a busy day at the mall, and then Grayson starts doing this walk. And he doesn't do it for like a few feet. I mean, he just keeps on doing it. It's a really ridiculous. People are staring at him. But maybe Grayson's got soul harmony. Maybe we can learn from that. Maybe when you walk out of here, you need to start walking out of here with a little soul harmony. Instead of just... Boy, it was a great service today. Praise the Lord. Pastor Matt was on fire. I have something really funny to say, but I don't think I'm going to say it. I'll just...
That's funny.
God's funny. All right, as I was saying, I got to wrap it up. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. And Kelly, you're an umpire, right? I mean, you know about umpire. I mean, you call them out, you call them safe, and never ever any controversy, I know. 50%, yeah. And some of you parents, when you go to these sporting events, you need to have some peace. I don't want the Good News Church parents be the one cussing out the referee. Oh, then you have your Good News Church t-shirt on. You need to get a life, really. You come to church and you fall asleep, but you're out there cussing out the ref. Well, let's reverse it. Come here and cuss me out and just be peaceful at the ball game. Who's first? Open floor. That would be funny. But anyway, the umpire, and so we should be calling out to poverty, out to sickness, out to strife. You're out of here, buddy. You're out. But then we should be calling safe, peace in our inheritance. You're safe here. See, we got authority. Josh, you got authority. All right, let me say it a little strong. You've got authority. We need to let peace rule. You have it already. You need to find it. It's there. It's in your spirit. And let it get up into your soul. Begin to believe the gospel. Begin to believe you're right with God. Begin to believe you don't have to do anything else to gain God's acceptance. He loves you unconditionally, even with all your flaws and all your weaknesses. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head bowed here, every eye closed. If you're here today, today's a great day to become a believer. I mean, we just preached the gospel. We just talked about the goodness of God. Just respond to the good news. Faith is present for you to enter into God's family. Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess him as your Lord, you'll be saved. And in a moment, you'll enter into God's family as his son and daughter. Eternal life is yours. You go to heaven when you die. That's just part. You become a new creation. But then you enter into an inheritance. Again, I'm not promising some perfect life, but it's so much better with Jesus. And this peace that I'm talking about today, it's going to come flooding into your life starting right now. So if you're here today and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you want to be born again, you want to come to God, you want to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand and hold it high. I see one hand here. Who else? Just be bold. You want something here? You just take it. Two hands here. Hallelujah. Who else? I want you to walk out of here with this gospel of peace. I want you to walk out of here with good news. Leave your sin. Leave all that at the door. Unworthiness. Hallelujah. Let's just, why don't y'all stand? And those two that raised their hand, if you want to talk to me or Nate or Susie after the service, or maybe I'll come and talk to you. I have a Bible for you and some materials. But let's just all do this together. Let's pray this together. And this is what we believe. Say, Father in heaven, I believe the gospel. I believe the good news. Jesus lived. He died. He was buried. He was raised on the third day for me, so I could truly live. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your healing. I receive your provision. I receive your abundant life. And I know that I know that heaven is my home. Now show me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's how you do it, guys. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know he does that. He's so good. And I just know, I know there's people here. I mean, I know you're going through trials and you're going through things. But the position of victory is not one of just being stressed out and just being up and down. That's not where God wants you to live. So go back to the gospel. Go back to the basics. Go back to the Bible. Get some people around you that know this and begin to talk the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And immediately that word's going to begin to work, and your stress level is going to start to lower. And the pressure is going to begin to lower. And I'm promising you that peace, that rest from God will come. And that's the place to face the enemy, in a place of resting, because Jesus already won the battle 2,000 years ago. You're not fighting the battle he's already won. And we enforce this victory that Jesus won 2,000 years ago from a place of faith, from a place of confidence. If we don't have confidence, then keep building the word in there, going to the gospel, meditating on it, confessing it, talking to others until that faith and that confidence rises. Because what's going to happen, I'm spitting now, what's going to happen, that's why you know you're preaching good, what's going to happen is you're going to see the answer, the victory in here. And when that happens, it's just going to be a short time. It'll be out here. But we want to see it out here. That's not faith. The substance of things hoped for. Faith is something things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. See that substance in here. Amen?